So things got backed up last week because, you know, we had the kid and all that, and so we hadn't done laundry. And so my mother-in-law came over and offered to do our laundry.
Okay.
And that was awesome. I was like, yeah, sure, that's great. She phoned my wife and said, oh, wow, Alan must be really out of underwear. She's like, she had to count. She's like, yeah, here's the week's worth of underwear. 21 pairs.
What? Wow, you're a panty collector.
This is going nowhere, but I thought it was funny that my mother-in-law counted my underwear.
Are they all tidy whities?
Mm-mm. They're all thong backs.
Wow.
No.
See, right there. Right there, that's it. That's it.
No.
That's it. That's gotta be it.
Hello and welcome to episode 155 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver, Canada.
Now, Adam, you're going to cough a lot. I've been warned.
I might. I haven't coughed for the last... I opened with a cough, and then I haven't coughed.
Now, is there a reason, or are you...
I'm fighting a cold.
Oh, okay. I thought you had Tommy Chong over for the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
Right.
So he's still sleeping.
He is from Vancouver, though.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes. So there you go. Wow. Off with a bang.
Tommy Chong. Great reference.
Yeah, it's just all downhill from here, this episode. There's no way we can keep this pace.
No.
This is our third annual Christmas special.
Wow.
That means no photography talk.
Is this the third one?
It's the third one.
Wow. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's our third Christmas. We're coming up, 155. 156 episodes is 3 years.
I thought the first time we did it was like episode 50. Is that right? Oh, that's yeah. Right. There's about 50 weeks a year, so 50.
Roughly. They just from year to year it varies.
Yeah, yeah.
Some years it's 40, some years it's 60, but it averages out.
Right.
Yeah. It's a leap year.
Okay, so you're right. Three times a charm.
Yeah, it's 52 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, 52 weeks in a year.
Awesome.
And yeah, so 155, that's what that means. It's our third annual Christmas special. So very little photo talk. I'm sure it'll pop in because, you know, I've been taking pictures, but
right.
There's that. But this week I thought, this year, I thought, first of all, we'd say thank you to everybody who's listening to our show in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As I've probably mentioned a million times before, I don't check numbers. I don't check downloads and all that stuff. I do know we had to upgrade to an unlimited package a while ago, like a year ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we upgraded a few times, and once we upgraded to the unlimited downloads bandwidth because of the volume, I never have any idea how many people are listening to the show.
How do you check that?
I don't know.
Oh.
There's okay. Things. There's probably some programs or apps for that. Mm-hmm. And anyone listening who does know, don't email us and tell us how. I'm not going to check.
Okay.
Because there's only like a couple of reasons to check, I think. Is one for sponsors. If you have actual sponsors besides ours, like essentially Amazon, if you have actual sponsors paying for advertising space, which we may do in the new year, okay. Then they want to know how many ears are listening.
Right.
Because that sort of reflects how much you get paid. But so we don't have that, so I don't care. And the other reason is kind of, I don't know, somewhat ego.
I was going to say pamper our egos.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's why I was curious.
And I don't want to know. I purposely don't want to know because I want to keep doing the same show, whether it's, you know, we have 10,000 listeners or it's just my dad.
Right.
It's going to be the same show.
Well, I feel like I'd probably do less trash talk of your dad if I knew there was more than him listening.
if it was just him, that's true.
Yeah.
You could just go over to his house and egg it. And quit wasting our podcasting time.
Yeah, I prefer when it's cold to whiz on his walkway.
It has been cold there, hasn't it?
Yeah, we had snow.
Again.
Yeah, we had snow. I think there might, it probably mostly melted overnight. I haven't looked outside because it's morning here, but yeah, we had a whole whack of snow. We've been outside building snowmen and throwing snowballs for a couple days.
That's very un-Vancouver.
Yeah, it's awesome though, because it comes, you know, right around the time where that's what you want to do at this time of year.
It is, but see, last year here in Germany, we had like 9 months of winter. It was. If you listen back, you probably hear me complain like every week.
Right.
And it was miserable, and it was like it was, you know, when my kid was however old she was, somewhere between 1 and 12 years old, I forget now.
Right.
But so she wanted to go outside all the time, but not for very long, and it, you know, would take 45 minutes to get her gloves on, and then be outside for 5 minutes and come back in. So it was a real pain. And so it did. It actually started in October. We got snow. And off and on lasted past Easter. And so I'd had enough. And I said, this year, no snow. No snow in Germany. And so far, we've had no snow in Germany.
Awesome. Both all the family has entered the room now. They're waving and saying hi. That's my son coughing. That's
get in here and say hello. It's a Christmas.
It's a Christmas episode. Do you want to say Merry Christmas to the Two Hosers photo show?
Merry Christmas!
And Jack, you want to say
Merry Christmas
to the Two Hosers photo listening audience?
That's me. Merry Christmas!
All right. Okay. See you later.
Now, wait. Hang on. Hey.
Oh.
What is Santa gonna bring them?
Okay, so what's Santa going to bring you, Jack? You tell
it.
Go say it into the microphone.
I want to try it.
Okay, say what's Santa going to bring to you. Don't yell it. Just say it.
Skylanders.
Okay, you don't have to lick the microphone. Okay, Sarah, your turn. What is Santa going to bring to you?
An iPod.
She's asking for an iPod, so there you go.
All right. Does she want my old Generation 1 iPod from 2002?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to pawn off to her. I have a couple of those too. Okay, close the door behind you.
All right.
Yeah. Awesome.
Go downstairs and have some sugar.
Yeah, it just got riveting.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so long story short, we got no snow at all besides a slight dusting, and so now I'm kind of eating my words because you know, Emily wants to go out for some sledding, and there's right. It's not as fun in the gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. So it's +8 today. We're looking at 10 degrees on Christmas. So sorry, Germany. I guess you'd be careful what you wish for.
Right. Yeah. That's too bad.
Right. So I had a kid last week.
Right.
Didn't talk much about it last week.
Okay. You're collecting your thoughts.
Well, I was saving it up for the big reveal.
Right. Okay.
No, I didn't talk about it much at all during the whole year. And by much at all, I mean at all. Mm-hmm. Did not mention it. And you were good about not leading me. I never had to cut anything out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you did a good read and thought, well, I guess he's not bringing it up.
Yeah, no, I'm like a whatever's locked down under tight guard. That's what I am.
The like crown,
like prison guard or something.
Prison guard. You're the prison guard.
Yeah.
You're doing the lockdown?
Yeah, no, that secret was locked up tight.
Right. So, yeah, it was good. There was a couple of times where I thought maybe, you know, it might come out, but then I thought, you know what, let's just let it go. And ultimately, it you know, it wasn't really a secret. It was just that, you know, if something unfortunate were to happen, then, you know, I didn't want to have to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so than anything, but no. So last week, yeah, we had last week now, and it's been a week, 2 weeks, or something like that. I don't know how. I don't really keep track of these things.
That'll be tough on his first birthday.
Yeah, we'll ballpark it. Yeah. I don't think he's gonna know. It'll be one. Like, what does he care?
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't really matter. But it's not like he doesn't have any friends yet, anyways.
Yeah.
And if he takes after his dad, he probably won't ever anyway either.
Or he'll have friends from afar that just don't like to hang out with him.
Yes, pretty much. He'll probably alienate everybody by the time he's three.
Yeah.
And anyway, so no, we went in, and the kid was due right around Christmas. Was the actual? We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, but it turned out I had a son.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say his name yet.
Yeah.
Here's the big reveal. His name's Sam.
Great.
Yeah. People. Like,
oh, what were you going to say?
Nothing. Yours is probably funnier.
Well, I was just going to say, like, that girl from Who's the Boss.
Right. Angela.
Yeah.
Yeah. We named her after, named him after Angela.
Right.
There's actually no real reason, but that's the thing is I want to ask you about that when I'm done talking about him being born. And so we went in the hospital, and I kind of hinted that, you know, last week that there were some complications, and complications was kind of a strong word, because we were never really in danger, but it was a situation that we kind of expected. We had to have a C-section, and that was not our choice. We didn't want to do that, but it happened before with our daughter, and so it wasn't really a surprise. Right. And I don't know how it works in Canada, because I've had zero kids there, but there's not just a midwife, but there's midwives who work at the hospital.
Okay.
Is that a thing?
You can bring your own midwife to the hospital, but otherwise, if you elect not to, then it's a doctor that's going to deliver the baby.
Okay. Yeah, there are doctors. There's definitely doctors there, but there's also midwives. And so I don't know who's in charge. I'm assuming it's the doctor.
It depends. In the case in here, and I'm assuming a similar thing exists in the U.S., but someone can correct me. If you elect to bring a midwife, that essentially replaces the doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we had a midwife to deliver Jack, and that's it. Midwife, and then the nurses will provide support to the midwife. But unless there was some complications and surgery, like in the case of a C-section, the midwives would do everything.
Okay, there. I think that's probably the case here as well. I mean, we never had to deal with that because we had to go into surgery twice.
Right.
And so, so essentially it was, they have multiple midwives that work at the hospital and nurses and everything. Like, they do a very good job here from what I understand. You know, from my personal experience, no complaints. Mm-hmm. And so it was a situation of we went in and even the midwife concurred on the C-section, right. You know, because so it wasn't a situation of, well, maybe it's a cash grab or something like that, or it's, you know, there was nothing nefarious about it. Even the midwife said, look, it's the situation, you have to do it. You know, it was up to my wife. She could make the decision, and she looked at me and I said, look, how am I going to make this decision for you? I stand by you. But ultimately, so she was actually devastated, to put it bluntly. She didn't want to do that. But say everyone's safety was the primary concern, and so that's where we went. And so they said, okay, great. Now, like, basically the doctor came in and said, okay, you have, take 60 seconds and decide, like, for real, because we're going to wheel you in there right now. It was not an emergency, but it was, time was of the utmost importance.
Okay. Yeah.
And so she took a couple minutes and made the decision, and boom. So that was, we're going to go in. And then we waited 8 hours.
Ouch.
Yeah, but they did it. They must have worked for the airline before the hospital, because they did it in 20-minute increments.
Okay.
Like, you never go to the airport and they're like, oh, yeah, your flight's been delayed 12 hours. They never do that. Right. It's like 20 more minutes, and then it adds up. And then after a while, you can't wait. And that's what ended up happening with us. Every 20 minutes was like, all right, just about there. And so finally it was, you know, well after midnight.
And at what point is your spirit broken, where you've just decided it's never going to happen? That baby is just staying in her forever.
Logistically, I knew that was not possible. But yeah, at that point, I was pretty exhausted, you know, because... Yeah. Because it's not easy for the husband. I don't imagine it's easy for the wife either, for the pregnant lady. How do I even say that?
the mother, maybe?
The mother. Yeah, the mother. Huh. That's why you're here. Yeah. And so I'm not suggesting it is easy, but it is a stressful situation for the father as well, you know, and being involved. And again, we're not complaining. That's the thing, is I wanted to, you know, say I basically explained to my wife, who was devastated. I said, listen, we're very lucky. We already have one healthy kid. We're about to have another one. We didn't know it was a boy or a girl. We're about to have another one. And we know people who have had trouble getting pregnant. you know, or unable to, or people who have lost, been unable to carry to term. Mm-hmm. And that never happened with us. So we were very fortunate. So this is one of those things that, you know, oh well. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes. And so all went well. When we finally got in, like well after midnight, they wheeled us in. And I'd been, you know, I don't know how, again, I don't know how they do it in Canada. But here, if you go in the emergency room, the operating room, the husband can go in as well for the C-section.
Okay.
And so I do.
Like they just give you a complimentary scar? Or?
Yes, that's right. They paint it on. It's like a tattoo. Yeah.
Just so that, you know, she doesn't feel a little bit uneasy.
Right.
Sharing in the experience.
Yeah, they cut me in half as well. That's what they do. It seems odd, but if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be the Germans.
Right.
No, you go in the room with her, I'm saying.
Okay.
So you go in the operating room and for support if you want. And I did the first time, and there's no question I was doing it the second time because, you know, it's the kind of guy I am. I don't want to call myself a hero, so you go ahead and do it. It'll sound better coming from you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's very, very heroic.
Whew, thank you. I would have sounded like bragging. So yeah, you go in there, and so I got dressed up in the doctor scrubs, which is that's the fun part. Like, you kind of want to be there and just like take a whole bunch of pictures of like, hey, check it out, I'm in the doctor scrubs. You know, Facebook.
Can I have a scalpel?
I'm just gonna walk around giving advice. Oh no, that's gotta come off. Yeah, I'd cut that off if I was you. Yeah, who did your nose? That's horrible. That is terrible. Anyways, I kind of wanted to take that home with me. It'd just be a great, just to wear around.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, I got, you know, it was in that for like 8 hours because of the delay. And then finally we go in and it's not fun. Now, both of your kids were natural.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's not a fun process either, I'm sure.
Well, it was awesome for me.
Well, for you, sure. I mean, did the cigar smoke bother Lisa?
I'm still a little bit scarred from participating.
In what way?
No, you can figure it out.
Okay. You don't want to go into details.
Yeah.
Well, it all kind of depends on which end you stand at.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I stood at the scarring end.
You did?
Yeah.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a better man than me, Charlie Brown. I don't think I can stand down there.
Yeah, no, I did it.
Wow, both times.
Both times.
I'm now even more impressed with you. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I could see it the first time and then be like, all right, no, I've seen this. We're good. I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
Because you'd be like that dude in Clockwork Orange, you know, like with your eyes pried open, like, oh, no. Do not need to see this. But as it is, it's bad enough being in the OR when because what they do is basically they give your wife a big shot in the spine, which is no fun, and you know you're there for that, and that's to basically not, you know, be the anesthesia for everything.
Yeah.
And then they put a barrier up, so I'm down, you know, with her comforting her, and basically they put a barrier up. Slice your
like
wife
a,
open.
Like a big green blanket or something.
Yeah. It's essentially, well, the whole thing is it's a whole thing. It is blue if we're going for accuracy.
Okay.
But you're pretty close. And so the whole thing, and it kind of goes up a little bit so I can't see over. I can see above it. I can see the doctor's faces. Mm-hmm. And essentially, I can see the reflection in their glasses of everything that's happening. Which is weird because I don't know why they're wearing the mirrored Ray-Bans. That seems odd. But and so you, so if I wanted to see, you could look, but I didn't want to, and they basically, you know, cut your wife open, which is not easy to take because you know that's your whole life right there, and I like my wife,
yeah.
So that's part of it, and then so the initial part is very fast. It's like the baby's out in like 10 minutes, less than.
Okay.
You know, boom, you're out, and there it is, and you see your son, and you know, when he first comes out, it's, wow, they're gross. There's just, like, what? That can't be my son. I'm not going to play catch with that. Put it, what? Come on. At least shower him off a little bit, because that is gross. But then, yeah, then they woo, boom, they whisk him off in the other room, check him out, make sure everything's fine, and then once they clean him up, they basically invite me, like, they, hey, come and see your kid,
right?
And so you walk across the operating room, and you sort of keep your back to your wife, because now they're going to sew her up. Now that's the long part,
right?
You know, and then the first time around when this happened, it was wildly. I mean, you're torn. Because here it is, your wife, who's laying there badly injured, essentially,
yeah,
in good hands, but, you know, but now you have to choose between her and, your new daughter at the time.
Right.
And that's tough. You know, and so I chose my daughter, of course, as I think everybody does.
Yep.
And went there, and then you get to hold her, and then basically they bring her back. You come back around and sit sit back down in your seat. And you hold the kid next to your wife while they sew her up for the next 40 minutes. And so that's how it went. And so the first time it was crazy. Second time around, I kind of knew what to expect. So it wasn't, no surprises really.
Right.
So
you weren't crying. Did you cry the second time?
Because I
remember you telling the whole waterworks story the first time.
Did I tell it on the podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
Did I?
Maybe not. Now we just revealed it if we didn't.
Well, the first time, well, because you have a surgical mask because you're in the operating room. And so, yeah, I did. The first time I cried and cried and cried because I wanted a boy.
Right.
And no, cried just really emotional in that. And so I'm filling the surgical mask with snot. It was my own, so I didn't mind as much. And then the second time I did, I was, you know, I'm pretty teared up. It's pretty emotional. Not quite as much as the first time, though. But the nurse did hand me a tissue at one point.
So the blunted emotion to the second child has already begun.
It's interesting that you bring that up. Because is that normal?
I don't know. I love my kids equally.
Yeah, but that's only because, like, see, I like mine equally, too. Or love mine, but that's because, you know, Emily came first, and then by the, you know, with Sam, I'm like, I don't really care anymore, except for he's a boy, so obviously I like him more than the girl anyway, so it evens out.
Right.
So, but already, it's so, okay, long story, still long, but they sewed her all up, everything was fine, and we get wheeled back into the room, and we're just alone. Well, the nurses are there, the midwives are there, and they kind of come and go, and so everything's fine. But because it's like now 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no one at the hospital.
Right.
And so I end up taking a selfie of the three of us. Like, I put my camera on the 10-second timer, rested on the, you know, on the whatever, the desk in the room we were in, and took a late-night selfie.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only photo I had at that point. I took a few of the kid, of course, but the only group photo I had was just that one, because it was just, okay, my daughter was with her grandparents, so they're not coming until like 9:30 in the morning, so we just got to sit there for 6 hours.
Right.
Which was strange.
Probably going to get a lot of sleep, too.
Didn't get a ton of sleep for the first few days, and that's expected. You know, I didn't mind. But that was one of the things that I compared. So the couple of days in the hospital, I compared the number of photos that I took this time versus the first time, and it's way down.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make me a bad parent?
No, I think that just makes you realize that how many of those photos from the first time around did you really need?
That's what I've been telling myself.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, because it's I ended up deleting a bunch from the first time around, because it was just, I could have just, you know, put it on motor drive and fired them off. And so you only need one from each second that your kid's, you know, there. And so I ended up doing that. So I still took a couple of hundred in the first 4 days.
Right. I think you got it covered.
Yeah, I think we are covered. But here's the funny thing is, I kept trying to think of, you know, well, you know, I took this picture the first time. Do I have to duplicate that the second time? And just I had to get out of my own head,
right,
and just kind of walk away. But
that's good.
But there's that. So okay, so the second kid, it's okay that you're gonna like him equally, is what you're saying.
Yes. I can only speak to having one boy and one girl, and having the girl first and the boy second. So same scenario that you're presented with. And in that case, yes, I think you're gonna like them equally. If you have two girls, they'll forget it. Game over. You're gonna like the first one more.
Oh, no choice. You know, in fact, you're probably gonna resent both of them.
Yeah.
No, you're not. It's your wife's. I don't know. There's whatever. How did your wife handle this things after Jack was born? Was she the same as the first time around, or was it easier?
I think it's easier just because, again, there's a history, and there's, I think you'll find with your wife that you'll be very amazed at how strong they are with the second one, because I think with anybody, first time mom, there's a degree of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And then they've been through it all, they've seen it all, and so that part is definitely, now there's a sense of accomplishment and mastery behind whatever comes up. There's kind of like a seen there, been that. I think you can make the same reference like with photography, in that, you know, once you've sort of tackled a new area or tried something, the next time that comes up again, it probably takes you a lot less time, a lot less frustration, and there's a degree of confidence, right?
Right.
Photography tie-in.
So what you're saying is she wasn't an emotional gong show the second time.
I don't remember, to be honest, my wife being super emotional gong show the first time, but there probably wasn't. Again, it's just now 6 years removed, so I don't mm-hmm. remember. But yeah, I think definitely the second time, just calm and cool and collected.
For us, it was the days after, like coming home. Like once it was time to come home, like starting at the hospital, with the first one, it was holy cow, just the wave of emotions hit, and like it was difficult. I looked around the room at the nurses and I'm like, I don't, can you guys come home with me? Or like, yeah. what do we do when we get home? You know?
Yeah. And I think that's exactly the point, right?
Yes.
That was the first time, you're saying.
Yes. And then, but in the days after that, there was just, the roller coaster was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so this time around, I was really anticipating it again, thinking, oh no, like, you know, the hormones and all that stuff, and it's going to be difficult, but unbelievably rock solid.
Yeah,
like she was just a rock. And so I was, wow, holy cow. Like when it came time to go home, it was like, would she, you know, my wife wanted to go home like a day and a half early, essentially, which we did. And it was just like, all right, let's go. Hey, go get the car.
Yeah,
the end.
Yeah, that, you know? That was very similar for us. And the first time, I think we were, again, I think the first time you have a kid, and it's different too here when you have a doctor versus a midwife, you have to often, like the first time we had a doctor, and so you have to wait for them, like if you have a baby in the middle of the night, you have to wait for them in the morning to come back around and do all the checks and everything before you leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas when you have a midwife, they stay with you, and after Jack was born, within 2 hours, they basically said, yeah, you can go home if you guys want. And we're like, okay. It was, I think, 4 or 5 in the morning, and we really wanted Sarah to come to the hospital to be part of taking Jack home.
Mm-hmm.
So we waited basically the extra 2 hours so that Sarah could show up. Someone was bringing her to the hospital. Or I think I might have went and got her. She was staying over at her aunt's house, and I went and got her to bring her back so that she could. But otherwise, yeah, I think we would have left about 2 hours afterwards, because wow. There was no reason to stay. It's different too, obviously, with a C-section. There's right. other medical indications to stay. But for us, that wasn't the case. So we could have literally left right afterwards. And we felt completely happy to do so. Whereas I also had those same feelings the first time around. It's like, I'm not ready to go home yet. There's a whole bunch of people here who know what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah, that's, yeah. And I remember holding Sarah in a couple of weeks after she was born, you know, and I didn't really care because I wasn't in charge.
Right.
You know, I'd care, obviously, but I wasn't too worried. I wasn't, you know, hey, anything goes wrong, I can hand her off to you. But when it's yours, holy cow, you got to go home and deal with this. But no, second time around, it was rock solid. Let's get out of here. And we did. And that was that. And, you know, and Emily was thrilled to have a little brother.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
So that worked. I'm sure it'll come back on us, but... But baby names. I wanted to ask you about baby names.
Okay.
How did you decide to name your kids?
We didn't really have a lot of difficulty. I mean, we sort of came up with a list of sort of our favorite names that we thought that we would find appropriate. And one of the considerations was, hey, my wife's a teacher, and she's like, I don't want a name that is going to get ridiculed on the playground. And I said, uh-huh. Okay, that's fair. And then we came up with our names. And, you know, again, my wife being a teacher and yours as well, if she had bad experiences with that name, she would just cross them off the list. Like, oh, yeah. No, I taught a kid that was just a hellion with that name. Yep. So that sort of negated a certain number of names that we thought appropriate. But we came to our conclusions really quickly. Like, we had only had a couple that we both were really keen on. So we settled on both names real quick. And Jack had his name... really early. That was my one of my grandfather's name, and we just liked the really strong name and just a little bit of a throwback name too, but because of the family tie-in, it was that one was an easy one.
That's what we went for too, is I wanted we have the added challenge of the name has to be able to be pronounced in both German and English.
Right.
You know, and so obviously there's some names that don't translate into English that people name their kids here, whatever they name, you know, pick a German name.
Right. Svensson?
Svensson. Yeah. That's not even a thing. but what, you know, or even simple names like, you know, it's a lot of Hannes or, you know, I don't know anybody named Amadeus though, which would be cool. I do know a couple Wolfgangs though. Sweet. That's for sure. And so I thought that would have been funny early on. I was like, yeah, we can name our kid Wolfgang, but, not into that. So ultimately, I wanted to go with something very, very simple. You know, like I the way I thought of it was like I wanted to go with the gray T-shirt of names.
Right.
Just something simple. You can wear it with anything. You know, it's not going to define your kid.
Right.
And how do you name, like, your kid doesn't have personality yet when you've named them. And so how do you, you know, if you named your kid how they actually behave later, my daughter would be named so.
You can't say that. You just made yourself some editing work.
That's what I went with. And we didn't have any first names that, you know, like that were like, you know, long standing family names. We did, but they just didn't translate it into German, you know? And right. So ultimately that was what I went with. And Jack, I thought of Jack early on. Like I like that name as well, 'cause it is strong and except it was taken by you.
Right.
And that would be weird if I just sort of named him that. Although some of the listeners had emailed and thought maybe I named him Adam and didn't want to say.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
That would have been weird.
Well, there's kind of like Sam Adams, right?
That's right. That's how we arrived at it.
Yeah.
A microbrew in Seattle. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Yeah.
It's not. Isn't it from like Halifax or something? And it's not a microbrew.
Sam Adams is American, man.
Is it? Oh, I thought it was. I thought they brewed it in Canada.
Well, I'm saying it. I'm stating this fact as if I used to work there, but I don't really know now. Like, I'm not going to bet my pinky finger on it.
Oh, okay.
But I'm pretty sure Samuel Adams is either Seattle or a Portland based company.
Okay, I don't drink a lot of it. So
yes, no, I don't think I think I've had one or two in my career.
Right.
But anyway, there's that. But so that's how we came across names. We wanted something simple, and I also didn't want something that was going to be difficult for my kids to put on forms the rest of their life.
Right.
You know, like or have to sign things, and all of a sudden, you know, they have 12 names, and each of them are 36 letters long.
Now, is the full name Sam, or is it short for Samuel?
It's just Sam.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My wife was insistent upon that for some reason. I don't know why. I was going to go for Sam. It didn't matter to me, because it's not a name that is, you know, holds a lot of meaning. I'm a big Mark Twain fan, so that would be one reason. But other than that, I don't really have any reason for it to be Samuel. What
about Dr. Zeus?
As a name?
No, Sam I Am. That's going to be probably...
Oh, Dr. Seuss.
Book. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's my daughter's favorite book.
Really?
Yes. And that, but that was almost the reason we didn't name him Sam. And I said... Because
of Green Eggs and Ham.
Because she reads Green Eggs and Ham. We read that book twice a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You really do need to get some new books.
I do. We have plenty. Oh, don't worry. Yeah. We could open a library here, you know, because we have it because mom reads her German books, I read her English books, and she does have a new book. She has Olivia something.
Great.
I don't know. I was hoping you were going to say yeah. Sarah has those too.
No.
Okay, she reads Twilight. I don't know. Whatever. I'm not doing a biography on her, but no, that was almost the reason we didn't. But no. That's what we went with, but for no good reason. That's the thing.
Didn't, great.
Named after nobody in particular. Maybe Sam Malone from Cheers.
Yeah,
probably.
Or Woody. It's like Woody's friend, you know.
Woody's
she got named. He got named after Woody's friend Sam
from Toy Story.
No, from Cheers. Thank you. My wife just brought me coffee.
Already. All right. Sam, show's over.
Sam is more like Woody's friend than right. He is the bartender I love from Cheers. Sam. Did you hear that?
I did. Yeah.
Anyways. I got coffee now. It only took like seriously. We've been podcasting for like 40 minutes, and I got my coffee now.
Mm-hmm.
She can't hear me when I'm chirping her, but I'm less than thrilled.
Right. So we hear divorce bells.
My wife just brought me coffee while she's downstairs minding the children, and I'm upstairs podcasting. So I'm pretty sure I've got it good.
Just like the Pilgrims.
Yeah.
That's how the Donner Party ended up falling apart. Podcasting.
Yeah.
So
giant rip through their marriage.
Raising kids. Now, see, having kids is one thing, but then raising them, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yes.
It is, but you want to know a secret?
Do what I do.
Oh, that's actually what I didn't want to come out and say it because I don't like to be complimentary to you. But yeah, I do follow your example, you and your wife. But it turns out that raising kids isn't that hard.
Mm-mm.
Once you get done, you know, changing diapers. But I found out that it's my advice to anyone who's thinking of having kids is just set a good example. If you want your kids to behave a certain way, you kind of have to behave that way.
True. That's a good point.
So I stopped crying and peeing on the floor.
Right.
But you guys, you and your wife are you guys are doers. You do things.
Yes.
You keep moving. There's no flies on you.
No.
Sometimes to a fault, by your own admission, you've told me, yeah, we did too much this weekend.
Yes, that's very true.
But go ahead. I was leading in with your butt.
Oh, I'm not sure. I can't remember what I was going to say.
Right.
Well, it couldn't have been that important.
Right. So I did want to tip my hat to you and say that, you know, you guys are some of the people I look to, you know, because when you're a parent, one of the things that you promise yourself beforehand, at least we did, was like, I'm not going to judge other parents. You know, I'm not going to look at them.
I do. I judge them.
Oh, absolutely. Lot.
Yeah.
How can you not, since they're all inferior to me?
Yeah, and I judge, well, I try not to, but I basically judge parents for whatever their kids do.
Right? Me too.
Which is why I get super annoyed if my kids don't do exactly what I want them to do all the time.
In front of people.
Yeah.
Look, you can do whatever you want in the privacy of our own home.
Right.
But when I'm prancing you around in front of people like a show pony... You better be able to do a somersault. That's you could right. Do a somersault at home. Why can't you do it here? This is exactly. Absurd. Yeah, no, I don't like her. I don't like when she misbehaves because then you kind of thread the line or walk the line between you want to discipline her, but you don't want to put on the big discipline show for everybody else to go, oh, yeah, he disciplines his kids. You know? So I tend to leave the belt on when I'm out in public.
I remember like being torn with that whole thing when we were sort of halfway in the middle. So the halfway in the middle would be when there's like family over who probably are going to be even twice as judgmental, if not 8 times more judgmental than just the everyday person out on the street. But if my daughter, I remember it specifically with Sarah when she was, I don't know, 2-ish or 3-ish, and she sort of going through that time where it's just rebellion and just like, you know, sometimes just blatantly would defy you or yell at you or something when you were trying to tell her that, you know, something was or was not appropriate.
Do not stand in front of that oncoming train.
No, it was more about, you know, like in the house with family around, where she would just, you know, I don't know, I'm going to call it 3-year-old mouthing off. And for me, that was all my sort of belief system was always about respect. The most important thing I told Lisa when we're parenting for me was that, you know, our kids have respect. They have respect for us. You know, they have respect for each other. They have respect for other people. Mm-hmm. So respect was probably the biggest thing. And so from an early age, and I'll call 3 early, but when I felt there was a lack of respect, that was the sort of like thing for me, is that I will discipline that. And so it didn't, you know, bother me in front of family, whether it's Lisa's parents or my parents or cousins or whatever, to just, you know, throw Sarah up over my shoulder and just take her away, you know, kicking and screaming. And this was just going to be, you know, automatic if this sort of thing happened, because I always felt that, okay, if I let it go in front of family, what's the message? What are you teaching them? Mm-hmm. And I know that's an awkward thing for a lot of people. They're just unwilling to do that. And, you know, they try to, you know, talk to them softly, but, you know, sometimes that approach doesn't work. And I just always thought, okay, I'm gonna set this message and stay consistent. Mm-hmm. And I think it pays off now. I think it pays off now, because that sort of, that doesn't happen so much.
How many days, weeks, months did that go?
Oh, at least, I don't know, I'm going to say 2 years. Not all the time. Not all the time, but I want to say from about 2.5 to probably 4, so a year and a half, where that sort of thing, it happened less and less, right? They learn about, okay, here's the consequence for that action. But I think most parents will attest to this, is that it's just repetition, right?
I was hoping you were going to say 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I wish that was the case. I think it would work in spurts of 3 weeks, but it would still come back.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly where we've just sort of started right now. Because from day one, like literally day one, to a fault, you know, much like you did, we've been raising our kids to be very independent. Like, I don't do a lot for them. Like, I make them, you know, breakfast and all that stuff, the stuff they can't handle. But generally, I set the bar pretty high, and my expectations of them are rather high. And thus, you know, Emily is wickedly independent. She can do a lot of stuff on her own.
Right.
However, what I did not see coming is that when they hit 2.5 or 3, that's when the independent streak really comes back to bite you.
Right.
That's when it all, exactly what you're talking about, not just disrespect, but wanting to just ignore you and, hey, they can do it better, and wow, does that lead to some issues.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you is wait on your kids hand and foot. Don't let them do anything on their own. It's awesome when they're 2. It's like, oh my God, look at my kid. Your kid's 5 and she's tying his shoes for him. Ha, ha, ha. At 2.5, oh boy, do you pay the price.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll eat it. But I'm gonna pretend it's like 3 weeks and put my head down, and that'll be that.
Yeah.
The end.
So can you just do it? Can you just do a fade out now?
Oh, I think everybody else did. I can hear the people snoring in the background.
This is, you know, there's kind of a Christmas tie-in, because, you know, with all that birth story talk and everything, it's kind of like, you know, like, it's like, I don't know, you could put a manger with a small child kind of as the cover art for this episode, right?
That seems like a lot of work. Yeah, I was going to do...
Maybe a wise man. Do you have a wise man outfit?
Self-portrait.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I sort of led you right into that.
Yeah, sure. I'm good with the golden frankincense, totally out of myrrh. So.
Great.
That was a lead balloon. Wonderful.
I'm only 6 sips into my coffee.
Yeah, myrrh, you know. Myrrh.
Yeah.
No, I think that about does it this week. Got everything. No more stories involving the kid.
Right.
You know? So far,
I got a good story for Jack. Well, it's not a great story. This is a father pride story.
This is on you then. This is our big ending, so make sure you sell it.
This is a huge conclusion to an already riveting episode of awesome. The Two Hosers Photo Show. Jack's been playing hockey. He's four, and they typically start hockey at five, but they let four-year-olds, if they're really keen, start at four. So it's, you know, it's I think there's about 60 kids, so they have two ice times. This is how many kids in just Richmond, our area of the world, uh-huh. in BC, that play hockey at that age. So it's probably, I don't know, 70% five-year-olds, 30% four-year-olds. You could do the math.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to identify because they kind of give them jerseys with laces for the five-year-olds, and then the four-year-olds don't have laces. So the instructors on the ice can sort of discipline them appropriately. I know, I don't know why, just they make it identifiable that way. So, you know, they practice together, and then they, for the first time ever, they had kind of like a real scrimmage. Like usually at the end of hockey practice, they'll kind of, we'll have mini games. We'll have like five or six pucks going. So, you know, all the kids get kind of interact with the puck and so that nobody goes headhunting or anything like that. But for the first time, they actually put the kids on the benches and they played 5-on-5. And so myself and the one of the main guys, well, the main guy that runs the ice time, you know, we played in net, and then the kids, you know, there's probably on the ice, there's probably two lines for each side. So let's say there's 20 kids. I think that's about what there was. They got to play the full ice 5-on-5, and like these are 4 and 5 year olds. So a lot of them are just kind of really learning to skate, but now they've been doing it for 4 months. So there are definitely a handful of kids that not only are good skaters, but can actually, you know, move the puck.
They can dangle.
They can dangle up and down the ice. So anyway, so they're playing the scrimmage, and it's only the last 10 minutes of the ice time. So it's not like they're playing a 60-minute game, but they each got two shifts, right? Maybe mm-hmm. 2 minutes in length.
Less time than this story.
Right. So I'm really sort of setting the stage. So anyway, so Jack is a pretty good skater, certainly for a four-year-old. And so on his first shift, he's skating up and down the ice. And, you know, usually there's a kid that kind of breaks away who gets the puck and, you know, basically just skates it end to end. And so a couple times Jack, being very polite, like he's a very polite child, the kid would, on his team, would be skating down the ice with the puck, and he would just sort of skate next to them. Like, you know, maybe he'll lose the puck and then I'll pick it up. But he's not going to, like, some kids will like steal it from their own team. They're just going to go for the glory. Mm-hmm. But Jack would never be that kid. So he just skate right along with the kid that's got a puck. Did that for his first shift. Well, on his second shift in his own end, he was like, okay, enough of this. I'm just going to take the puck. And then he pulled an end to end and sniped on the other goalie. It wasn't on me. I was the goalie at his end. And honestly, the feeling of pride probably only matched by the birth of your child. Like, just this, it's the funny thing about Canadian, and I think it's probably the same thing exists, you know, the first time, you know, your kid throws a touchdown pass or whatever, and or hits a home run in Little League. But as the fatherhood pride thing, like, honestly, I did not cry, but the emotions sort of welled up. And I think I said to Lisa, she wasn't actually there. She was with Sarah's dance, so she didn't get to see it. But I said, how you feel when you see our kids like learning to read? That's kind of how I feel when I saw Jack snipe in hockey.
Did you keep the puck?
No. Yeah. Oh, you bronzed it. We already bronzed it.
I think you got to keep the puck, man.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. But yeah. Anyways, it was, and he was so excited. Like, you know, he was like, he always has an ear-to-ear grin when he's playing, but mm-hmm. when he was coming back, he was like, just, yeah, he was high-fiving, and it was pretty cute.
Nice.
Yeah, so there you go.
Something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that and Christmas. Like Christmas, I mean, this comes out the day before Christmas, the show, right. And because we do Christmas Eve here, and you get to do Christmas Day over there.
Right.
And we'll do Christmas Day over here because, you know, why not? Why not spoil the kid completely?
Exactly.
So we do that. But that is it for this week. I want to, you know, say all the best to you and your family for Christmas this year.
And all the best to you and to all of our listeners, too.
That's where we're going. That's the lead in here. So I want to say, you know, best of the season. Merry Christmas. Frohe Weihnachten. Feliz Navidad.
Thank you for shopping at Amazon.
Yeah, we're leaving the. That's all over with. Not over with, but for Christmas, you know, they've already done that.
You can't say thank you?
Oh, no, I can say thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no. I thought you were pushing.
No, I said thank you for shopping at Amazon.
That's on me, my friend.
Yeah.
That one is on me. No, everyone has been really great. We've had a lot of emails come in where people have said that they did all their Christmas shopping on Amazon through our site, and that means an awful lot. So I thank you very much. I hope everybody enjoys their Christmas or their holidays or whatever anyone's celebrating. I used all the good ones, the Feliz Navidad. So if you have any left.
No, I don't have any.
You don't want
Happy Kwanzaa?
Joyeux Noël. I gave you Joyeux Noël.
Okay.
You didn't go with it, huh?
No.
Okay. There you go. So everybody out there, have a great holidays. And until next week. Get out there and make better photos.